So we are up to the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. And there are actually three Rambams here, plus the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So it's kind of hard to make full sense of what the Rambam Shita is. One of the considerations one has to have is whether or not he changed his mind in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Mishnah Torah, which generally speaking is not a very likely thing. When the Rambam changes his mind from the Perush HaMishnayos to the Mishnah Torah, that's pretty common. And sometimes he goes back and amends the Perush HaMishnayos and Reb Kapach will note in the footnotes the emendation because we actually have the Rambam's autograph. If you're interested in seeing it, you can go to the library, ask to get the volumes in the rare book room, the facsimile editions, and if you can read Judeo Arabic, you'll see the Rambam will have written something, he'll cross it out, you can see what he wrote previously, you can see what he wrote in the margins. So Reb Kapach always points this out in his edition of the Perush HaMishnayos. The Sefer HaMitzvos, remember, was the outline for the Mishnah Torah. And the Sefer HaMitzvos comes in three versions. The first one written in Arabic is the first full one. That's what you're looking at on this. The second, which I confess I did not look at the formulation, but they're both going to be very short. The second is in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, one-liners of the Sefer HaMitzvos. There's a minyan HaMitzvos there where he lists them. That's originally, I believe, written in Hebrew. Is the koteret to each set of halachos. Every set of halachos that the Rambam has in the Mishnah Torah, he tells you at the beginning. So it's worthy. I didn't look at the formulations there. Did anybody, Brian, did you look at it? No. But I don't know if it's going to yield anything, but there's a problem just trying to make the Sefer HaMitzvos at least match with some of the things he writes, some point in one direction, some point in another. So let's start with the Rambam and Hilchos Melachim. Yoni, can I ask you to begin, please? A nusach of this halacha, which I think is generally found in all the witnesses to the text of the Rambam, with the exception of the Ramban citation. So what does the Rambam say? Okay, so he says that you can have nashim and pilagshim. Nashim is b'ksuba b'kiddushim, pilagshim is without ksuba, and without kiddushim even. Just yichud, what does yichud mean? No, not seclusion. Designation. That's what it means, designation here. When we say you have to be careful about yichud, that's not the yichud we're talking about here. In other words, it's b'yichud b'vad konar semer karislav. I don't think he means seclusion. I think he means designation. It's a funny language, by the way. He says Kona Osa. Okay. Yes, sir, Brian? Yes, that is correct. It wouldn't be called Yichud. David was Gozer. The Gemara of Odesar says that David, and that's quoted elsewhere, David and Abestino were Gozer on Yichud Apanuya after the Masa of Tamar and Amno. He prohibited. So when we talk about the Isra Yichud of Apanuya, we don't mean like Yisra today. Today the Yisra Yichud of Pnuyah is more Chomer because most Pnuyahs today are Nidos. So when they talk about the Gzeira on Yichud of Pnuyah, it means a single woman who is not a Nida, who either would have been a Katana or who would have been going to the Mikveh anyway because of Tumah V'Tara. So that's where they made Gzeira on Yichud. So Fryan says, of course, they're Pilagshim before Gzeira Stavad Obeis Nidos, so there is no such thing as a Yichud with a Pnuyah, if that's what it means technically. Certainly not for David HaMelech. So, but it means Yichud means he designates her. And it's interesting, he says Kona Osa. It's kind of an interesting term because usually when you acquire something, what does that mean? It's yours and it can't leave without your permission, but a Pilegesh can. Okay, Aval. Now, this is very odd and we're not really going to explore this, even though we probably should. What? Anybody understand this? I know what the words mean. Is it true? How does it fit with what he said before? Is that true? In Amma Evriya, after you have Yichud, she's a Pilagesh? Answer you. Is it Pilagesh?
No.
Yes. It's just an odd formulation. So what does he mean by... That's correct. even though it is, she is Nesua. Yeah. You just don't include the process of it. Right? Whereas, you know, now, it does raise the question, what is the, I didn't think about this until now, because I just assumed like everybody quotes the Rambam. I'm now starting to question everybody's interpretation of the Rambam. How does the Rambam envision a Pilagesh? It all makes sense, actually. What is the institution of Pilagesh according to the Rambam? Is she a free agent?
It doesn't look like it, but it's
exactly. And the parallel to Yud. Really? So, you know that, I didn't put this, a number of the Mefarshim quote one particular Maramakom that is kind of hard to figure out. And you can read it in both directions. That is the story of Avshalom and Pilag She'aviv. What did Avshalom do? Well, what did Achitofel advise Avshalom to do? Boel Pilag She'avicha. Why did Achitofel technically, advise David to do that? Avshalom to do that? I think it says in the Navi, by the way. No. I think it says it more close to explicit Navi, not explicit. Because that would make the people understand there was the point of no return. Right? The people, you know, would be afraid to join Avshalom because they'll figure, okay, you'll fold, your father's son, he'll give you a patch and say, go to your room. And you come out 30 days later, and that's fine. But he's going to keep, but that will kill us for disloyalty, right? We don't want you, you know, and when we're losing, so you'll make peace, and we're going to be left, we're going to be hung out to dry. So by doing this, Achisopa was telling Avshalom, everybody, I think it says enough, everybody's going to know that there's no return here. Now, what happens when David, after Avshalom does that and David makes his way back, what did David do with those wives, those Pilagshim? Almanus chayus, that's the term that was used. You know, living widowhood. David would not consort with them anymore because they had been defiled, which is kind of interesting because that doesn't fit the normal mascaras of halacha. It was issues, even if it was issues of shenensa, but obviously melech might be a little different. Right? The treat is almanus chayus, which some people say, ah, so you see that they were asurus then. It must have been they raised his ish. That would make more sense if it was kiddushim below ksumer. Suros amanos chayos ad yom hazon, I believe is the expression. Yeah, he basically put. Yeah, but why did he do that? That wouldn't be nice. That's very nice, but then like that's coming at their expense. He has chayuvim. If he has chayuvim, if they're like wives, he has chayuvim. He's not potter from Sherek Sosfa'una. You can't pick and choose. David HaMelech wasn't modern Orthodox. Why? Anyway.
Why not?
Why is that? Anyway, the bottom line is, yes, if I... Well, if the argument would be that his Pilag Shim had some type of kiddushin. So yes, yes. Yes. Yeah, but why would he? Well, yes. Okay, but it made it sound like it makes it, you know, the way it's typically read, it's like a din. David wasn't allowed to. So when you read the Rambam, I'm having read it again and thought about it. I think that the Rambam says something different than everybody puts on the Rambam. And I just want to say, yeah. In other words, see, I don't think you can say this to the Rambam. Again, it sounds from the Rambam, Pilagshus is Ishus. It's just it's not achieved through Kiddushin. Because he says, Vikone Osa. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
No, so what I would say, well, the problem is it's not parallel to Yud, is that he can have, well, that's easy, because when you're married to a king, you don't have to do kitchen work. That's like hechnisalo many shrachos, right? That's the status. So the answer is no, he can use precisely these pilashim who might have a partial din of ishus, but they don't have a full din of ishus. Therefore, he can have them designated doing tasks in the palace. It is very interesting. Nobody, I don't know if any of Inosa Kalim or anybody else has suggested it, but as we're reading it, doesn't that make more sense in the Rambam? Pilagish for the Rambam, there's no Kiddushin and Ksuba, but there's a Kinyan that he says, right? And he compares it to Yiyud. Yiyud is Ishus without Kiddushin. Now it happens to be that by Yiyud, Sheirak Susava Onasalol Yigra. Right, if she brought in four shvachos, she couldn't make her a rakach or a tabach or an ofach. I don't. I from the David story, you would think it's kind of an ishish. Ish. You want me to commit? I like kaf ademia. Like I think it's. I think she's ishish. Ish. Yeah.
What do you mean the kind of as
yes, that's how the Rama. I think that's what he's doing.
Yes, it is,
because Ksuba spells out obligations. In other words, nobody affects the terms of what's expected. Right? If the husband spelled out in the Ksuba that analo eflach. I don't want to say chas v'sham, v'lo okir. But he said, v'lo ezon, v'lo afarnes, so we pass like a rehidibi pater. I owe you 200 zuz, but I don't have to do any of these things for you. Right? Those terms that he sets out, and she would be, and the problem with the ksuba, what do you write in the ksuba? That so-and-so said to so-and-so, hevi li le'intu kedas v'shav yisra. Intu means something. It means a wife, not a pilagesh. Right, you don't have to write a ksuba for a pilagish. You have to write one for a wife. So I think when you look at both the Rambam's formulation and his comparison, the Rambam thinks there is a kinyan there. I imagine it's some type of a kinyan of Ashes Ish. It would fit nicely with the David story. It raises another possibility, but cannot be read into the Rambam, so I'm not going to push it, which is it possible that a head yod could have a pilegesh. It's just that she's not nitnes to him. In other words, you can't have a pilegesh arrangement for a head yod. A pilegesh arrangement means where you have ishus rights over the woman, but you have no obligations to her. A melech can have that. A melech can have these women that she's kona with that kiddush and ksuba, parallel to the person who's kona with yod. But he can also make them rakachos and tabachos and ochos if he wants. You can't do that with a wife. A hedyot, it might be there's no iserbia. No iserbia in a pilagish arrangement, but you don't have a kinyan, and you don't have the ability to enforce any of these things. But someone who has a pilagish, if our formulation of the Rambam is correct, she doesn't have a choice. Like the melech is konehar, she doesn't have a choice whether to work as a rakach or tabach or ochos, but that's what he wants. That's the deal. Hedyot doesn't have those powers. There may not be a Nisrbiya. Maybe it's not Kadesha anymore, but he can't have a Kinyan Ishus without the obligations of Ishus. Anybody want to argue with me? Tell me why it's crazy. Jonathan? You're supposed to argue with me. I mean, not necessarily on this issue. But what do you think? You have an opinion? Okay, Shimmy?
I'm just looking at the end of the halacha, and the pasuk that he's getting is from the king of Yom Bechov, Rachachor. Like, isn't that when Shmuel is telling that initially all things that the king is going to do? Yes. Not necessarily be saying these are allowed. Like, isn't... No. We're going to assume the Rambam is assuming. We pasken kol davarim ha'umim v'parshas melech melech matarbo. And understand what this means. By the way, note the language. It's hard to tell. Yikach levach kachos v'talos. What is yikach mean?
I know, but what is Lashon Lekicha there? Right, and remember, he doesn't need consent for that. Yeah.
There are Ichud in that sentence.
I know, that's why I'm not willing to go to town on that one. Because he takes also the Esedose Chem Yikach. He takes your fields. He's not married. I agree. But what I would say, what? Very good. So all I'm pointing out is that the process of Ubenose Chem Yikach or Rachachos or Ophos, that they don't have a choice. Now, I don't know about the Pilagish part. Like when David is not looking for Pilagish when they're looking for Abishaga Shunamis. I don't know exactly what he's looking for. Why exactly he couldn't have one of his other wives fulfill that role, I have no idea. And he wasn't Baal Leha. You know, so Chazal have this thing that somehow a Besula generates more body warmth than I don't know about the physiology here. But bottom line is, there it's a voluntary process. I mean, I don't know, is it a voluntary process there? Vayim Tzu, Esavishag Ashunamis? I don't know, I want to just point out that we tend to forget, there's a separate, not a discussion for us, that like what happened with David and Bathsheba fundamentally, and I don't think I understood this for a very long time, that was not a consensual act. It may not have been a violent act in the sense of, but it was not a consensual act, right? Because when the king has his men go and bring the woman, right, and you're brought to the king, you don't really have a choice. Yeah. It took me a long time to see somebody reading that, and after I read it, it took me a while to swallow it, but I think it's correct. Chazal even probably described Bathsheba as anus, I believe. Right? Why? It wasn't rape in the classic sense. It was such a enormous power imbalance that effectively she was anusa. He wasn't, but she was anusa. Because when the king comes and calls you, you don't really have much of a choice. Just as, you know, Achashverosh wasn't running Lahavdil. Achashverosh wasn't running a voluntary beauty pageant. Okay. And before I forget to mention it, just before I mention, there is a plan to have a Shir event once again this year on Purim at our house, a Megillah reading, and Suda to break the fast. So put it on your calendars and hopefully you can all make it. I know it's right before you get married, but both of you can come, by the way. So just saying. Anyway, yes.
Status or state of marriage.
Is
that coming from the way that you phrased it?
Yes. In other words, you like this interpretation, don't you? Because it really sounds right, even though I never thought of it until now. Because why didn't I think of this until now? Because A, I read text a little too quickly. B, because I've been reading all the other Rishonim, all the citations. Oh, the Rambam says, right, and the Rambam scarce says, below Ksuba, below Kiddushin. It is below Ksuba, below Kiddushin, but it's not what you think it means. And that answers the question, you know, one of the riots the Ramban brings against that Nusach, against the Girsa, Kiddushin, below Ksuba. One of the riots that he brings is because Ksuba is only the Rabbanan. So the Gra, in the Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch, says, oh, but yeah, but some Rishonim hold it Saraisa. No, I think the way to answer that question is like, what is Ksuba even doing there? It makes so much more sense. Why does the Gemara even talk about Ksuba? Kiddushin, no Kiddushin. If there's no Kiddushin, of course there's no Ksuba. No, the whole point is that Ksuba tells you something about the nature of the Ishus. That it's the relationship fundamentally of equals. Of mutual obligations to one another. But it's not. Pilegesh is below Kiddushin of Balik Suba. Balik Kiddushin is Konahar. Normally you need Kiddushin to be Konahar. The Suba is not a method of Kiddushin. Balik Suba, what I would say, means none of the obligations that come along with normal marriage come. Of Sherksus Fa'ona. Right? When he says he can make her into Rakachos and Tabachos and Ophos, that means he's not sleeping anymore. There's no Ona there. Exactly your point. I mean, wouldn't the wife do that anyway? The answer is no, because that's her job now. She's not consorting with the king anymore. That's, I think, as we talk about this, except for Yoni, I think, was a little skeptical. Yeah, I'm fine.
You said that Luxuba is in context of the mayor she did have Ksuba, meaning normally they have Ksuba as it didn't know. They were more directly about the kinyan, rather than the definition of the marriage per se.
What by Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir, first thing, in case somebody's not capturing the reference, Rabbi Meir says that Kalapoches Lebesula Mimasai Me'amana Mimana Arezu Bilasnos. Rabbi Meir says that you cannot have any reduction in the obligation the husband owes his wife. And Rabbi Huda says that he writes her Ksuba Mimasayim, she can write his Kabalti Mana. I've already received for half of it. Meaning you can cancel, she can cancel the Ksuba. Rabbi Meir says that it's a Bilasnos, but the assumption is because she, you know, to borrow something somebody says in one of these makoros, it's a like grusha salev. But basically, she thinks she's not secure. So, and I would say that a bilas nos, what is a bilas nos? A bilas nos is no commitment. And ksuba, and without a ksuba, there's no commitment, because what's that stop the husband from just writing a get? Right? So what makes it not a bilas nos is a be in the context of a commitment. So it makes perfect sense why the Rambam would say below kiddushin, below ksuba. Because bi is mutter. She might even be like an ashes ish. But she is, but it's not a wife. It's not a wife. Yoni?
I have a little question. Number one is just the general. What's going on here when you say I'm not going to have to look at that?
I don't know. Right. In other words, I think what he means is, until now, before he makes them rakachos and tabachos and ofos, so they would be functioning more like a wife would. And now, basically, he designates them for assignment, a different kind of assignment. He can do that. They're still pilash. And look, there's another piece to this. I didn't understand this as a child. If Ahasuerus tried on all these women, and what happened after he was finished with them? They went to the harem. Right? So I kind of didn't understand this as a kid. It's like, okay, you don't want to marry them, so let them go. I didn't think about that, but it's like, no. Once the king has used them, they're forbidden to a hedyot, which some Chazal talk about that also. That a klisha mishgamish bo melech, so a hedyot might be also about, including the king's wives. So the truth is, once he has been, they have been the pilegesh in that context, they're not going to be able to marry anybody else either.
But if we were to say that there is not
pilegesh by a hedyot, well, I think, so that was my question, is the Rambam saying pilegesh is also for a hedyot, is he saying that a hedyot can't have a consort who is designated, who is meyuchad for him for bia, or is he saying that you can't have such an arrangement by a hedyot? The only way a hedyot can acquire a woman through ishus, for ishus, is only acquire a woman is through kiddushin, except for yod v'nama. But it could be then the Rambam is not saying that a yachid can't have a meyuchad relationship with a woman that's not kadesha and it's not biasnus because she's meyuchadeslo, it's not hefker. Pilegesh is also tenim. You can't have such an arrangement. You cannot have a hedyot who has no obligations to a woman, but she's tied to him. You cannot have a hedyot be kona someone without kiddushin. And any time you have a kinyan, it implies a form of a gamut of ishus, which is equal to suba. Yes, if I. I think so. It doesn't exist elsewhere, yeah.
So, why is it, and that's sort of the second thing, why is it that it's also for hedyot? It's just special. There's no way to have a yichud for hedyot. So, good. So now it's just, you know.
So, that's why, I mean, the fact that he said, had he said ein, it would have been better if he had said ein pilegesh lehedyot. Not that it's aser for hedyot. The only question, so that's the one point on which my grounds for, again, you can say what we said first without saying this last piece. Right? You could say that a pilatrous arrangement is just usher for hedyot, not just that it doesn't work. You know, you're not allowed to live under such an arrangement because that's kadesha. You could say such a thing. Yes. 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 You could argue that. I think it would just work, but in other words, it would solve all the maybe all the other Mishnah Torah problems, not the Sefer Mitzvahs. But one could even argue b'miksas that someone who is a penuya, right? I mean, is not a pilegish, is not a penuya. A penuya means free agent. A pilegish is someone who's designated. Now, a wife is also designated, but to break a kedushin, you need a get. Whereas to break a pilegish, she needs to just say, you know what, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. She, it's like niun. And by the way, nobody anywhere that I have noticed has raised a small problem. This question bothered me incessantly from the time I was 14 or 15 years old. How can the Rambam say that there's an Isser Abia without Kiddushin with a woman who's designated for him? I can prove that that's not so. How could the Chachamim have instituted what we call Kiddushin Miyun? Right? The Chachamim created an institution that if the father has died, or the father once married his daughter off with Nisuin and she's now divorced, when he has no dominion over her, that she herself, or her mother, or her brother, usually the father's dead, can marry her off to a guy, but the kiddushin are only the Rabbanon. And when she becomes a Bokeres or a Nara, then the kiddushin, when she has Bia, or maybe even not mid Rabbanon, already mid Rabbanon without the Bia, but certainly with the Bia, that Bia will be Bia L'shem Kiddushin. So I have a question for you. How is it possible that they could make such an institution? The man and the woman are, but the man are protected because he's a gadol, is violating an iser la b'kum vaseh. Having bia with a woman who's not his wife.
No.
Kiddush emir, you have bia when she's a katana. Yeah. That question bothered me forever. How do you make that work with the Rambam? Unless you argue that because she is miuchedes lo, in that case with a kiddush in Rabbana, which can be dissolved, how? I don't like you, honey. Goodbye. Have a nice day. Miun. She just walks in from maybe in front of two, maybe in front of three. It's machluk. It's mishamei. So says, nice knowing you. I don't want to be married anymore. Can't do that in regular kiddush in deraisa. That you need to get. So that's more or less how a pilegesh leaves the relationship as well. What's that? Well, I want to go further than that. I mean, yes, you could say that, but I want to go further than that. Because I want to say that the Rambam doesn't think. I mean, Yoni, you're right. That's how the Radvaz would, for the Radvaz, my question isn't a question. Because if it's really mutter, if when it's be kavua, when she's miuchedes, if it's only nisa the Rabbanon, because they were afraid she wouldn't go to the mikvah, so that's not a problem by Kiddush Emiyun. You know why? Two reasons. One is that
It
won't be embarrassment because she's his wife. Number two, she's a Tana. She's probably not a Nida. But that's beside the point. But it's really the first one. In fact, she's not embarrassed. Why? We had Kiddushin. Okay, so the Kiddushin only works the Rabbanon. But it's Kiddushin. It's dignified. It's honorable. Yes, Ephraim.
Right.
No, we don't. We assume she can do it herself, not just her mother and brother. Katana. Gadola, you don't need to tell us. That's not even a Shaila. Right? She's a Gadola. Why? She's a Nara or a Bogeres that she has Das. What's the question? This is a really interesting Rama, but I haven't seen anybody highlight the fact. I didn't look at the Nosei Kalim because I didn't realize this until now. It didn't strike me. He talks about being Konos. So I understand that a Melech is Kona. I do get that. But the analogy to Yud is very strange. Because Yud is not Pilachus. Yud is Ishus. It's Ishus accomplished not through Kiddushin. Right? The money that the father received in exchange for selling his Bito Kitana, that money retroactively, effectively looks like Kesef Kiddushin. But it wasn't a Maisa Kiddushin. He just says, Harayat miyuedesli, v'kesef shenasati lavich. That's how he's miyayed her. So that's a case where there's no kiddushin. Like a melech can have a pilegesh, no kiddushin. I assume both of them have this element of ishus, of some kind. So the Rambam seems to be defining pilegesh as non-kiddushin generated ishus. Where she is asura, I would say, to everybody else. That is impossible by a hedyot. The question, the Rambam uses the term asur. I would have been, I have to be if the Rambam had said that there's no pilagesh lahegev. Then you would be happy, fine. And you would, and you're right. Your tain's a tain. So you don't have to go to, you could argue that there's a different isser. If you argue that it's not usser because, now as Ephraim would say, I think probably correctly as we have it in front of us, it's usser because, there is no kinyan like that for a hedyot, and therefore it's usser because it's biasnos. Or it's usser because of the sidraban and the sidravaz suggests. Okay. Yeah. What else is there? What other dina of pilegesh are there for Mela?
The fact that she has the usual is in that. Otherwise, the only thing I know of is that
she has a hat. Yeah, but again, that's why I say, number one, he says Kodosa. Below Kiddush and below Kisubah. Number two, he doesn't quote it, it's true, but we know the Pesachim in Shmuel. Not the one he quotes, the other one, Shmuel Beis, Avshalom. He knows that.
Didn't help me with Kabbalah. The one thing to say that we'll learn, expect someone else to figure it out, is...
All right. I can't say anything more on this. I came there early. I don't know about that. I'd love to say the second half as well, but I'm not going to go out on that one. What's that? Of course you can. Literally to the table. Okay. Also, ish other aveir belacho pilegesh v'shehechzer osa achareis nusa pritzasi af bishal nesla b'zusal fidikta kalacho hova lahoisa ishto v'ksuba v'kidushin. Okay. So why? What does this demonstrate? But he holds pilegesh as aser. He said avar aveir belacho pilegesh. Okay.
Is it also matter of that it's some sort of status thing?
But he says it's not really, right? There was no real issue in taking her back. It's just pretzis.
He says that there's a direct relationship between the natural of the zos and the lack of the kiddushin. I don't think also that the mela wouldn't have an issue if there was not...
There's no zos.
Right.
No, I agree. The question is, but he goes further. He's assuming that a relationship, that it's us or also. No, it's really usher to do, not just. It's not tofes. It's not like a melech, I would say. So I think half of what I'm saying in the Rambam, I'm willing to defend. I think that's the case. The other half, not. But I think none of the other Rishonim understand Pilegesh that way. They don't understand Pilegesh that way. They have to read the Psukim and Shmuel more as political than halachic. And that's the way it is. Okay, now let's take a look at the Rambam and Hilchos Nara Besula, because it would not be fun if we were would leave, not confused. So, Shimmy, go for it. Just as an aside, by the way, what kind of human being would do that? And the answer is, unfortunately, much more common than you would think. I think we culturally, for many, many reasons, both the age at which we get married and the age at which we generally permit sexual relations with younger people, this would be totally impossible and foreign. But I think that when you step outside of Western culture, you go to many cultures in this world that are not Western, and you go to many, unfortunately, many situations, more probably in certain parts of this country than in others, this would not be, I think in this country it's still pretty rare, but nonetheless, it would not be totally out of the question in many cultures. We have a very, in certain ways, and I think this actually is a Torah value, we do not see children as an extension of ourselves. I mean, often parents psychologically fail to sort of understand those limits. I want my son to be a doctor or a lawyer. No, that's not up to you. That's not keep it out of the aim. But I think that we still have a much more highly developed sense of that which the Torah rejected from, let's say, ancient Near Eastern law, that children are not the possessions of their parents. Right? Children cannot be punished for the sins of their parents, etc. So this is just one. The Torah does allow the father to marry his daughter, though we like to see that, and I don't think it's just as apologetics. It's really protection for the daughter. Certainly the way Chazal understood it, that it's usur to be mekadesh bito katana until she gets older and says, I want to marry, and she can express her will about who she wants to marry. So however Chazal are exactly reading things from the Torah, clearly this is not a kind of behavior that we would think, putting aside halacha, would even be conceivable for too many parents in our culture to actually do with their children. You know, when you read something like this, we see a news story when something like this happens, we're usually horrified, and the response is, what kind of parents would ever do that to their children? And the answer is, if you were to go to large parts of the third world, many places there, it might be totally part of the norm. So, fine. This is something, okay. So, you might think that I could do that since the Torah was mezakeh him in the mamon, also I thought I'll rent my daughter out. Okay? I want to do a favor to somebody, so I'll do b'chinam. Okay, so stop for a moment. So here, firstly, this is a really... I'm sure there are many examples, but it's hard to imagine. I can't think of one. The Rambam here is drawing a distinction between an act that is performed with planning versus an act that just happens. And to say that they have two totally... Now by ones, certainly, and to an extent by mefateh, I understand why the woman might be in a different position in terms of ones, because she didn't really willingly do it. I know mefateh, she willingly does it to some extent, but it's clearly not the same kind of level of consent as other kinds of consent. The idea that because if it happens haphazardly, a maisa bia, then that's just a financial crime. But if it's planned, then that's an iser bia. That's a pretty big chiddush. That's a pretty big chiddush. Now, the truth is, if you argue that znus is osur min haTorah, meaning mufkeres umezumenes l'chol adam, you have a similar question. In other words, if you were to say that pilatus is mutter, but mufkeres umezumenes l'chol adam is osur, you're saying fundamentally the act is very, very similar. It's just one is, so one is you only hang out with one guy, but each individual bia, it's not so different. If you held like the Ran, by the way, or the way the Get Pashut understood the Ran, then it actually is not hard to understand. The Ran understands that it's just, according to the Get Pashut's reading, it's only the Rabbanan. So that makes perfect sense. Why Onus and Mefateh? It doesn't matter that it's Derech Mikra or not. It's all the same thing. Bia out of marriage where the two could marry one another, but not done through the agency of marriage, whether it's haphazard, whether it's Kavua, whether it's Mufkeres L'chol Adam, is only the Rabbanan, according to that. There's no Isser and Biasnus. But if you hold it's Daraisa, it's a really, you'd have to think, and I can't think offhand of another example in Halacha where you have such an action that's performed, but Derech Mikra, it's not a lot. But if it's done by preparing yourself for it, then it's a Los Asa. You know, if I happen to be running in the street and I pass a cart and I'm really hungry while I'm running and I kind of unthinkingly grab a piece of, you know, bacon from the thing you did, well, that's not really a Nishahaza. But if I'm Kovea, I go and I buy it or I sit down to eat it, so that's a Nishahaza. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's a very, even the Rambam is, I think, even more striking because he doesn't have any heter, you know, of Pilegesh, if that's what we're assuming, if we're assuming that right now. So to say that when you have this haphazard bia, so that's only Mamanos issue. But if she prepared herself for that, or the father arranged it, so now that's in the Solos Hasek. That's pretty, it's not illogical, it's just atypical of how Halacha often draws lines between, you know, actions. Usually there needs to be something more inherent in the goof of the action. Even, as I said, even the difference between Mokheres and Mezumenes Lakol versus Miyuchat for one person, the action still is fundamentally the same. Yes, there is a contextual difference, but nonetheless. Lamashal. Let me sharpen that question. Supposing a woman decides she's going to become a zona, so the first person who has beer with her, is that, in other words, how is that different than Pelagius? If you tell me that she's had now beer with four different men, you know, on subsequent days, okay, you could say there's something objectively different about the action. But the first beer with our first client, how is that different than Pelagius? But it's the same act. Now, granted, it's purely the intent. And again, intent doesn't usually matter by Isseri Bia. It matters for Onesh. It doesn't matter for Isser. All of the Arayos, all the effects of Chalolos, happen whether the Bia is Ba'onus, Ba'ratz, and Ba'mezi, Ba'shogeg. The Onesh for doing something is different. So the idea that the action is inherently a different action, that one is Mutter and one is Usser, is kind of hard to be holy. It's just atypical in this area of Halacha, right? The action. You want to argue to me, that's a very interesting argument. Here, understand where he's going with this. Why do you want to say that? Lashon what? No. What does the Pasuk say? Yeah, it's very interesting. Because Ephraim said that, maybe he wasn't thinking of this Nekuda. But it is a very unusual formulation for Lav, right? Either, how does the Torah normally formulate Isseri Bia? I can think of three ways. What? Four. That's a rare one, though.
The other ones are where there's...
Lo Sigaleh.
But if there's some sort of...
Lo Yikach. And Lo Yavo. Lo Sihyeh Kedesha doesn't speak... What's that? In which one? Lo Sihyeh Kedesha, correct. Not on the action. Just be careful. I'll get you Gabra there. But we have to... We can't have... It's no Chetzer here. I would say, by the way, that's more like a chef, is a chetzah than a gavra, actually. In other words, it's inherent in the status of the woman rather than in the action. We tend to think of things that focus on just the action are is a gavras, and things that focus on the person defining his status as a chetzah. It happens to be she's a gavra. Okay, or he's a gavra later kodesh. But that's why, yes. In other words, that's a fun one to play with the language, but fundamentally it's really a chetzah. It's labeling her status. But the form lo yia is very unusual. It's nothing that you do, it shouldn't be. Okay, so that would actually, for both all Rishonim besides the Ran, that might be the explanation for it, how you can have such a thing. Okay, but be that as it may, so the Rambam says that if she was making herself for that, or the father did it, that's at chalas and chalas, or son, he's going to say that's the same thing as Kadesha. If it happened, the Mikra, which means she didn't prepare for it, her father didn't prepare for it, he just raped or seduced her. So then, and what is this? It seems strange to us. We would think that when he rapes her, that's a bigger avera than they do it consensually. Now, the answer is it might be Klapei Shmaya. It's a different parsha. When they're both consenting, it's in the parsha of Arayas. It's a parsha of Isseri Bia. When he rapes her or seduces her, which is a slightly lesser form, it's in the parsha of Nezikin. It doesn't violate the Isseri Bia because it doesn't fit the template of the Isseri Bia. But it's worse in the sense that it's a Dinanezah. It's a din and nezek,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you tell somebody, it's a Mishnah in the Perek HaHovel. If you tell someone, break my arm, and you be potter, I'm going to ask that you're high because nobody really means that. If you say, krak susi, and I'm going to ask that you're potter. Yeah. It's asa mishra maltashlis in that case, but yeah, you are potter. So you can be mochel on the seek in advance. You can give someone permission to drive your car off the cliff. I'm sorry? It did come up. Yes, correct. You are correct. Tosis quoted it. What? Yeah. It's a mystery. You can't get around that. The question is why. The Tosa's question, Bava Metzia, was why is that Masna Lashkas Vatot? Yeah. Okay. So the Rambam now continues.
Yeah, Mechin.
But there's no Knas only applies by Onus and Mefata. So if a woman, if the father handed his daughter over, and it's kind of, the truth is, why do you pay there are two, Okay. What does a mefate pay? Brian? Kanas of 50 kesef, moar. What does an ones pay? Kanas of 50 kesef, tsar, oshes, and pagan. Now, why is the kanas paid? What is the meaning behind that kanas? It's compensation to the father who would have been zilcha in that dowry, but the reverse. And the marriage payment had he married her off. They were mafsid him because Anam Basula is just not as valuable. That's what that money is. That's what Moar HaBasula is. So this is a generalism. If Shloshim Shel Eved, there's Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Pet. Pshuta Shel Mikra and the Shloshim Shel Eved probably is that was the cost of an average Eved, at the time of Matan Torah. Like it's one of those nice little riyas against certain aspects of biblical scholarship because Yosef was sold for 20 kesef, which in the first half of the second millennium, according to some, was the typical price for a slave that we find in ancient documents. And then during the second millennium, it was a second half of the second millennium, meaning 1500 to 1000, the typical price was 30 kesef. It had gone up. And then in the next half millennium, where we find Melech Ashur assessing a head tax on the Israelites in the northern kingdom, it was already 50 shekel, which is what the slave price typically was then. It's a nice little thing there because it's an argument against anachronism. Or put it differently, there's no way that someone writing in the 1200s who either wasn't God or didn't have somehow amazing traditions from an earlier period could possibly have known that Yosef would have been sold for 20 kesef. If he were writing the story then, he would have said Yosef was sold for 30 kesef. Anyway, but that's beside the point. So I would just tell you, Ephraim, if that's the case, these were typical prices at the time. Our Torah Shabbat tells us that when the Torah spells out a specific amount, we treat that because, and it's true anyway, right? It was a typical price, but it means it wasn't put up to assessment, right? The Torah says, by some things the Torah says, Bal habar yishalem kesef yishuv olah. It doesn't assign a fixed value for the shor. So I think even lefi Torah Shabbat Peh, those values were rooted in a particular historical context, but Chazal's tradition is that those values remain fixed. What? No, agreed. So I'm just saying, but the point was, Shloshim Shel Eved is compensation for the Eved. That's clear. That I don't think Chazal would dispute. But whereas a Ben Choren, you put up in the marketplace the value of how much they've been worth, Eved 30 slant. I don't think the Torah says Kimoar HaBasulos. The Torah says the Teush, that it was Kimoar HaBasulos. And it tells us that. It's telling us why. You're telling me it was just a chameleon peg because the Acacia went 50 like the Moab Sulos. No, it's telling us why he's paying the 50 kesef, because it's the Moab Sulos, which father will no longer get. Because she's not a Psula anymore. That's I think, shot even the halacha. So, there is no din if the father's Moser or she's Mechan Atzmalakach. Why he loses in that case, I don't know. But that's the Rambam, because the Rambam says that's not called Mefat anymore. Okay. So I don't, that's the problem. The problem is the father is technically, if his father is really actually out of the picture, well, of course, Mechanat must pater, not because it's not Mefate, it's pater because she was Mochelis. If a man rapes a Bulgaris, what does he pay? Tsar, Boshas, and Pekam. He just doesn't pay the Knas. The Knas is limited to Nara, or according to Pacham, Nara and Kitana. Right, so the damages you pay. And if a man is Mefate a Bulgaris, what does he pay? Because she was Mochelis by doing it consensually. So there's a, I don't want to explore now. What? What I'm asking only is, I understand when the father's moser her, there's no devotion on the fact. I understand why there's no monetary payment because the father was mochel in doing so. But if it's he is mechanis atzma, I presume we're still talking about an ara here, when Hilchos Ara Psula. So then the Rambam says that's not mafata, that is nos, that's kadesha. So I'm asking, who was mokal on the father's portion there, if it was she who did it? I don't care the fact that he didn't even seduce her. She volunteered herself up. But how can you be master of the father is the question. But if the father's dead, then he is petura because she is mochelas, not because she's not mafateh. That's like a mishnah. Right? If the father's dead, normally when you're mafateh and nara, she's consensual. Me mafateh is consensual. It may be a little bit of a balance of power, but it's consensual. But she can't be mochelas on her father's money. But here, the Rambam is saying this is no longer in the parsha of mafateh. It's something else. Okay. Anyway, I'm not quite sure I understand the mechanism, but it's a category change for the Rambam. It's not just a din change. Okay. So, v'amechem bitol lakach. Go ahead. Right, in other words, if she has a shame ra already when she was young, so our assumption is not that she wasn't the basula necessarily, but that she did this willingly. Right, notice also for the Rama, mafaka is not a full ratzon. It's not quasi ratzon. It's not onus, but it's not ratzon either. In other words, there's onus, there's mafata, and there's rechina atzma. Right? There is a difference between when a man seduces a woman and a woman seduces a man. Or a woman knocks on his door and says, here, I'm ready if you like. That's not mafaka, says the Rambam. Okay. And the Ram and the Ravid says here, Amar Avram,
in dati maskemet.
The Kuba Shalzonos. Okay. The Chain Amru. So for the Raivet, what is a Kadesha? What's the use of Kadesha for the Raivet? I mean,
sounds like she can't be a prostitute. She can't be a prostitute.
Well,
which is odd.
No, you're correct for starting with that. So I think he's saying something different. He says she has to be one who sits bekuba shalzonos. That's a brothel, right? But then he cites, but not exactly, because he cites Yehuda. Yeah, that's not a brothel.
Saying that to be like a real prostitute, not a
not someone who just sleeps around because she likes it. I mean, something like that, right? In other words. Someone, a woman who might be mezana with even multiple men is not a woman whose services are being advertised. That may be what the difference is. Ryan? I mean, presumably a zona has a degree of discretion. She can turn down a client also. And he doesn't say, you could have asked also, is it the economic issue that's involved? Because a zona is usually paid for. He doesn't say that. Right? All we know is what the Ravid describes, the Kuba Shalzonos, as a Kadesha versus what the Rambam describes. Right? The Rambam describes the father pointing his daughter off, or she's just doing it herself. Now, how is that different? The Rambam might agree, in other words, right, the Ravid would say she has to do this with lots of men. Maybe not in a prophet. Maybe not only in a derech, and maybe not for money or anything like that, but if she does it, you know, is that what the Rambam means? How does he see the Rambam's case here? Is he sees that the Rambam says even one guy, one scenario where the father says to the guy, fine, give me 50 selah, you can sleep with my daughter. The Rambam says that's Kadesha. He does, no question about it. The Rambam would say, one guy, that's not Kadesha. You want Kadesha, she's got to be available for anybody who wants to come in. One guy, this guy, next guy, and so on. That's the closest thing I can think of in the Rambam. But it would have been, in other words, the differences between the Rambam are not quite as stark as one would like. It would be a sharper formulation might help clarify for me what exactly, what's his point of difference with the Rama. But that's what, again, he says that she's Mufkeres and he doesn't use the term. She's Omeres Bekuba Shel Zonos. So again, the Rambam's case is the father, it gives her one eye. Now, the problem with that is, why can't that really be what the Rambam thinks? Because if that were the case, then why would there be doubts about paternity? Right? That's strengthening your argument. Well, but he says that. Right? He says that the reason why the Torah prohibits this is because you're going to wind up not knowing who's, you know, who the fathers are. Well, look, yeah. I mean, that's why the Torah prohibits it, but it's still, but to say that just with one guy. Well, he just describes it, if she's Mechina Atzma for this thing, or the father's Moshe for this thing. Okay. Which then means there's no argument difference between the Rambam and the Rebbe. What's that? Because he didn't read the Rambam like you. That's exactly the point, if I am. Well, he's saying that you're going to wind up with not only just people you don't, people are going to violate rights because they don't know paternity is unknown. That's what. How do you get the way you get nymphs? I didn't realize you were saying that. You don't know what this means is uncertain paternity, and by accident, people marry their relatives. That's what it means. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Fran. I didn't pick up on that. Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure what it means. You look in the Gemara. That's exactly what it means. It's not. You know, it's not a morally degenerate society in the sense that we would, you know, that somebody in the Christian right would scream about, you know, becoming a morally degenerate society. It's a very specific thing. It's the same reason why, I think we mentioned at the beginning of the year, one of the reasons suggested to Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom is because it wasn't about a man living in, I don't know, Troyes and having two wives. It was about men who would travel for business and have white wives in two places, which the Gemara Yoma explicitly states is prohibited because they're not going to know that they're siblings. So. Now what? Well, yes, ultimately, but the question is it that you cannot do this at all because what will happen is if you do one, then you know, that's what's not, it's not clear. It could be that that's what the rabbi picks up on and says, okay, well, you know, you're saying even with one person it can be a problem. I'm saying it can't be a problem with one person. Right? Okay. All right. So now let's take a look at the Rambam in Issa Rebbia. Brian. All right. I put that there for your filling in, but let's go to base. May one. But as long as you, as long as the woman is going to sleep with all Jewish men, so, you know, and who are miyuchasim, at least miyuchasim in terms of their personal lineage, not their behavior. As long as she's going to limit her pool to the Jewish guys, so it's fine. I mean, it's not okay, but it's fine in terms of she's not a zonah lekohen. Now, how did the Ram Aval... Right. If she has beer with someone who's in Issar La, but not in Issar Kuna, you know what happens if she has beer with someone who's in Issar Kuna? If an almana has beer with a Kohen Gadol, what does she become? A halala, not a zona. That's why he singles it out. Issuri kahuna make halalas. But regularly soon, that would Bashav and Mahal Yisrael make zonos, make a zona. So if you have such a beer, or chayve asei, Issuri asei, ve'insarach lomar. Okay. So go back to the beginning of Rambam's formulation debate. The chain habala priya filu hoisa kedesha shif kira atzma lachol. Afo pisha hi remarkos la nasa zana. So does that mean the chain habala priya, and even if she's a kedesha lachol, she's not a zona even though you get an office? Or does that, where do you put the comma here? Or do you read the chain habala priya is lo nasa zana? And Vasilu is the Kadesha Shishir Atzmalakol Atoshibi Malkos Lonase Zona. In other words, which is the Malkos and which is really labeled the Kadesha? Is the Baal Pnuya Shi Kadesha? So it doesn't sound like this from this halacha. Right? It sounds as if Achena Baal Pnuya, that's one thing. She's not a Zona. And even if she's a Kadesha Shkiri Atzmalakol where you get Malkos, she's still not a Zona. Reminds me of the Gemara in Kiddushin. Arbin Mekasfei. And still she's Muteris or something like that. With the Machlokas, whether you're Malkin and Yichud of an Eishas Ish. You know, there's a man who has Yichud with an Eishas Ish. If you give Malkus, the danger is people are going to say that she violated Bia and she's Asura Levaila and yet she continues living with him. So it might be that you're not Malkin on Yichud of Eishas Ish. So the Rambam is saying here, she gets Malkus. For Kadesha, and still she's down as a zona. Or again, does that line, Afa Pishu Malkos, go in the entire first part? Not the way I would have read it. I would have read a Pnuya, and a Kadesha who gets Malkos, you don't become a zona. And the reason why he does it that way is because Pana Abal Pnuya is Rabbi Eliezer Shita Sazona. We don't pass them that way. Not only that, but not only Rabbi Eliezer Shita, the Pana Abal Pnuya Sazona, but even a Kadesha is still not a zona. And why do you have to tell us that? Because Vayashavel is Zona, Ayeha Kadesha. You would have assumed that Kadesha is a Zona. Same thing. So that's why the Rambam tells you, we don't pass that for Blazer, and we don't assume that a Kadesha is a Halachic Zona. In other words, Vayashavel is Zona of Tamar is different than Isha Zona of Achal Lo Yikach. Different Zona. So this is another Rambam that might point away from the direction of close parentheses. Yeah, that's one way of reading. The other way of reading is Achen Habala Pnuya Afila Haisa Kadesha Shira Tzulakol. The Pnuya, and even a case of Samurus Mufkaris Lakol, Afal Pishi B'Malkus, all of them, even a single time, even a single Pnuya, Lo Nasei Zona. It would be Malkus.
Right.
The question is, what would this be if she's not called a Kadesha? Right. So I prefer the reading. It's Vachena Bala Pnuya, comma. And for that reason, actually. Va'afilo is a Kadesha Shefkirat Smalakol. Even if she's not just that woman who has nus once, but even if she's a Kadesha Lama, still she's not a Zona. So that suggests that Panabalapriya is not Kadesha. Okay, and let's read one more Yesachan. Yeah. Yep. I can't, she wouldn't have had beer.
I mean, sometimes you said that don't say, there's a lab to Mochel and Gabby's daughter.
Right.
You mean that until your major Mikkel attack, you mean the Kriyas, it's Osir, it's a post college club, but it's not Kriyasha?
Except for that when he describes in the first one, it also sounds like it's one person. He says, Harini Sokar Biti Habsula Lazat, Lavoa La Bahama Masha Ercha.
Could be
But that, but that's called out halal is bit halal has there. I thought you were suggesting maybe Kadesha is with just a one, but Al Khalasa is all over the place.
I was,
the opposite. But it doesn't suggest anywhere in it that it's multiple people. So where would you see it? I think also in the Sefer Mitzvos, I think he says it's the same as sir. Okay, so now let's read finally Sif Shinun Hei Nisim. Sefer Mitzvos. Yes.
The Rambam is the third year. The Rambam is the third year.
I'm sorry?
The Rambam is the third year. 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 The Rambam is the third year.
What's that? Where do you see in the Tshuva of Advas?
I don't. How many lines do you have in your Tshuva of Advas? Okay, fine. I want to make sure we're looking at the same thing.
All right. Mikomakom Kadesha Basra. He understands that if she's not miyuchedes, but he's born Isha Derech Sosa Derech Mikra, and then he goes his merry way, even though she's not Mufkaris Lakol, because she's not designated, she is a Kadesha.
She's not Mufkaris, no, she's not, it's not that she's Mufkaris, but only to this person. It's not called Mufkaris. In other words, if there's no commitment, if there's no intent for continuity, then it is Kadesha for the Rambam. It doesn't have to be she's available for everybody. It's, in other words, a single bia could be us, sir, if there's no intention, if it's just a one-night stand. If she wants to move in as his girlfriend to his apartment for an extended stay, that might be mutter. That might be like Pilach. She's miyuchad eslam. But if she just says, you know, a one-night stand, so, in the contemporary culture, a hookup, so that would be Kadesha, for the Rambam. But that's not like the Rambam in Isser Rebiyah. To be a Kadesha.
So
we couldn't even be saying that about Pnuya, that's deserved, but even if it's the worst type of Kadesha, where she's still not in Zona. No, but when you say Bechena Bala Pnuya Afilu Haisa Kadesha, what is that? What's the case of a Pnuya that's not a Kadesha? You're just telling me it's the same thing.
Well, he's qualifying what Kadesha is.
No, but you wouldn't say habala pnuya afilu. When you say afilu kadesha, it means you can be bala pnuya where it's not kadesha. So then that would be against it. If it's not more careful. If not, if you're not some call, she's not a kadesha.
Yeah.
Right, but that's not what the Ravah says. The Ravah says to be a kadesha for the Rambam, you don't need to move karas lakol.
Even in this case, where
Where do you see the lower level? The chena bala pnuya, and even if she's a kadesha, which implies she can have a bala pnuya if she's not a kadesha.
We're trying to say that she's not a zona. Okay, so we're going to say that a lower that a kadesha should look at the atma, then okay, she's low nasta zona.
Right.
But the Rambam is saying that if you look at the kadesha should be atma, then low nasta.
I don't understand what you're driving at.
What I'm driving at is that I think the Rambam is reading this, he's getting this idea of gradations.
But he doesn't have for the Rambam gradations in Kadesha. He says it's all Kadesha. unless she's... And the where place that he draws the line is different than where the Rambam seems to draw the line. It means even if she's not mufteris, as long as she's not miyuchedes to him, it's considered kadesha. But the Rambam doesn't sound like that. The Rambam sounds that in order to be a kadesha, you have to be mufteris and mezumenes lakol. Because he says, chayna ba pruya, and afilu hoisek. I see what you want to read. You want to read Afilu Hoysa, the kind of Kadesha, Chena Balfni, which is a Kadesha, and even a kind of Kadesha that was that.
So bad.
Stretch. I understand how you're reading it. I'm sorry. I get it. You think that's how the Radvaz is reading it? It's a stretch of all of it, in the words. I don't know if he's getting it from here or not. Okay. Sefer HaMitzvos. Have we read this? Read the Sefer HaMitzvos. Nisim, did I ask you to read? Did we get started yet? Yeah, okay. Same off. In the Shom. So let's look at that line. Hamoser bito penuya shelo l'shem ishus v'chein hamoseres atzma shelo l'shem ishus. Shema mimeni. Okay, so he has got to explain to us what these two lavim do for us. We already know the din of Onis and Mefata, that only has a Knas Mamo, and maybe it has to marry her, or should marry her. Ahaya! Okay, meaning don't basically give her away in exchange for this, or give her away as a favor. Okay, well, the fee. Vehera. So really he's explaining what the difference between, where was that line? Right, and it's explaining why it's al t'chala l'sbit t'chala has no sa. Because lo siya kadesha doesn't explain how it happens. But t'chala l'sbit t'chala has no sa is to say, oh, I have the right to hand my daughter over. So the Torah says, no, you don't. Okay, v'zeh halav. All right. So once again, what does he call this? The lav? Pnuya. And it sounds like here there's certainly no inyan of mufteris and mezumenes lakol. In the way he formulates at the beginning, shelo lavo al isha belo kisuba o belo kiddusha. That seems pretty clear. So we really have lots, any number of different Rambams, which wind up on two sides of the fence. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult.
The Ramban's Hasaga. I'll read the Ramban's Hasaga, and then we'll try to kind of wrap this up. And the Ramban's, whatever we already discussed. Well, I want to read the Ramban's also. But the Ramban says, Kosa harava mitzvah shlosh meos v'chamishim v'chamesh nimnanu nilivah v'lo tzu v'kidushim v'ami yisparach halos yekedei sham res yisrael u'shar deverav. V'inezah halav al kol panam lav shem v'binyin hu. There is certainly lo siyekedei shah is a lav shem v'binyin, means it's one of the lavim. But the question is, what does it mean? U'kfar heitiv harav v'pshato al tchalos v'tchalas nosah. He's right about that. Avo dibru v'ksuba dvaro v'ksuba v'kidushin eno emes. Sh'aksuba eno menatora klal. V'ha'kidushin is a mitzvah v'kinyin v'isha. The Ramban says the Isser of Kedesha, it refers to a Bia which Kedushin are Tosin. That's not true by a Pnuya. It's like Unklus, like an Eved, like a Shivchon. And zona by Kohen, the way the Ramban understands, it has to be cases where Kiddushin are Tosin, which means Arayas or Goy. There's Ela v'Isuri Habiyah She'im Hem Kiddushin. V'chein Yiskir v'chol Lashon Zdusha b'Torah. Im Kein Al T'chalos b'T'chalos Nosa, Yazir Mizeh l'Pisha Av Zakai v'Bito b'Kiddushah v'Kesev v'Shtar v'Biyah, u'l'mochon l'Shivcha v'Zocha Gam Eknason Esotata, aval Asur Avlo l'mochon l'Misha in Kiddushin Shal Tosin Bo. It's specific. He's not allowed to sell her, or even try to marry her, to someone with his no kiddushin. V'chein gam lav b'kedesha kachi. V'hoysa, v'hoya halav l'nekeva nevela, so l'zachar po'al, haya omer, v'lo yevachem kedesha, v'kadesh, k'inyan lo. I don't know what he means by that line. V'lochein, diktiku v'sifrei, k'fi mashmos abreishu, sh'skaner b'ikar hamishi, Shalav hu ala chayrim sheyimnu osam ala vihan ara bilav the al talos bichalas nosa the al bezdin bilav the lo tizna aretz behem atzmam nechlalim bo. So basically, this prohibition of lo yekidesha is a responsibility of the bezdin. Ubala targum ba'amru benos yisrael bnei yisrael yichad vezeh shalom nisiyach edem avadim. She can be a shin kedushin bo. That's how Unklus translated. The ilu amar lo yeh kadesh v'kadesha hayu avadim nechnasim bo shem chayav mitzvas zulasi hamakomo shapori pen kamosh amar begonim v'neshachom Yisrael v'zeu ina meduktuk b'dinei haTorah. So if this were, he says, if this were a law that was miyuchah to the individual doing it, avadim would be musharim as well. But he says, how do you know they're not? I don't know. But he says that this is basically an ashara to the Beis Din, but it's only in situations where kiddushin are not tosin. Now, this Ramban is consistent with what he writes in the Tshuva. That basically there is no pilagesh, isur pilagesh. The question is, what would the Ramban say when I look back in that Tshuva? Oh, where's that Shiva? The one thing. Of the Rashbam Yuchasis the Ramban, which I think is the Ramban in this case. Bottom of the page. So I would just suggest to you, there is really a big difference between Ramban and the Ravid. What's the difference between Ramban and the Ravid? Jimmy? Huge difference between us. Yeah.
For the Ravid, it's talking about any woman who becomes an actual prostitute. While for Ramban, it's specific and a lot of cases where a patient is
interpreted. Yeah. You know, if this is correct as a reading, the suggestion of the Get Pashut in the Ran
would make sense in the tradition of the Ramban. There is no Isser on a Pnimiyah other than Nida. Right? Because the Ramban, there's no Lo Siyeka Beisha does not include within it any situation where there's no Isser in the Biyah. In fact, it doesn't include within it, I mean, it would be a little odd, but let's say Kohanim had their Chevra of sleeping with Grushas. Kedushin or Tosin there. So they might get Malchus maybe for being with a Grusha, but they would get Malchus for Kedushin. It has to be Dafka Kedushin or not Tosin. That's what the Ramban says. Every Zona means that. Esnan Zona, as I mentioned in Shir earlier in the week and in response to the question, is not a Zona, that it has to be someone who knows Tvisas Kedushin. Habal Imo was one of the examples that the Gemara talks about, it, although that has another fascinating element that's become out of the Rabbi Nei issue. Whether he's actually mechuyev to pay her. In which case, if he's not mechuyev to pay her, then it's not Esnan, because it's just a matana. Anyway. I'm not grasping.
You were saying, I think, in one of the videos that when there is an erba, when there is an israelav, the tradition is not going to be followed.
By erba, not by israelav, normally.
Yes, but.
Kiddushin are chal by almost all israelav, nor we pass it. The only exception, the only law that I'm aware of off the top of my head, where kiddushin or not tosin, even though there's no karis, and even though the child is probably not a mamzer, is yivam alashok. No havaya. It's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. One is for sure there's no kiddushin, the other one it may be a suffix where there's kiddushin. Fine. And an erva with a no tefisas kiddushin. I can come up with certain arayas that are lavin. You want that? Anusa Safa and Futa Safa, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It also may be that Chalutzaso or Chalutzas Achiv and a few of those might actually be considered arayos, sherbasa, shuhubalo yavo, but only a lot. Very few. Besides which, let's say they didn't give him, it's Haydenis to show me, I can't really get, no. Come on, really? Most of the arayos are kuris, not nisa. So unless you hold like Ram Nechudi Ben Akana, you're fine. The only arayos, I'm not counting Zohar and Hema, the only arayos which have nisa are Emo, Ashes Aviv, Ishobita and Eshishish. And Kalaso. Okay. Emo and Ishisav are in the same pot. Those are the only ones with where you would say Kalaso and Ishisav, but all the others, you would say it's Kadesh and addition. You get two sets of malchus. Really? Yes. Yes. Means high bay crisis.
Okay,
in other words, Kadesha would be a bia with someone you can't have tisus kedusha, which is Eved Goy and the Arayos. So that would violate, besides whatever else it violates, I mean, by the Arayos. By Goy and Eved, it's not clear what the violation is.
Okay, so maybe something new for Eved Goy.
Correct. In fact, now that we're saying this, I never thought of it in these terms. According to the Ramban, is there an Isser Bia with a non-Jewish woman? Not Derech marriage. So the Rambam seems told that Derech Asrus is not an Isser Deraisa, but the Pashtus is, the Ramban holds it is. It's Kadesha. Yeah. The Rambam, it makes sense that the Rambam doesn't hold that way because he holds that Kadesha is for Penuya, not for Goya or Eved. So basically, what we've seen, just to wrap up, we're not really sure what the Rambam sheet is, but it would appear that there are three positions in the Rishonim. position on what is out of the Rambam, that it might be that all bia with a panuya, panuya bal panuya, man's married bal panuya, is a violation of l'sek edesha. Any bia that's outside the context of kedushin and ksuba is considered znus and is asur mishum l'sek edesha, and there's no such thing as a hedyot, a pilagish for a hedyot. Might be a pilagish might be something totally different as we explore at the beginning of shir. The second sheaf is that of the Raivid who agrees that you can have kedesha with a panoy and panuya, but it has to be a woman who is mufkeres and mezumenes lakol. And the third sheaf in kedesha is the sheaf of the Ramban in the Asagos, where the Ramban says that it only applies to the situation where there is a lack of tisis kedushin, like esnan zona, like Unkelus's translation of Eved and Amma. But whenever you're dealing with someone that could be thesis kedushin, it is not subsumed under the prohibition of kedesha. So obviously, according to the Ramban, even though he doesn't say it here, but he says in the tshuva, a pilagish would be with her. What's that? There's also not an issa d'oraisa. It might be BS, it might be the Rabbanan or something, but I don't know that he, you know. Yeah, I think so. If it were us, I don't know what the issue would be.
Yeah. Also, why does he consider it to be a pilegesh?
Well, because that's the question he was asked. The assumption was, is a pilegesh is panoya bala pnuya with a kind of arrangement? So that's the question the Rambam was asked. He doesn't, again. Yes. Yes. He's not gonna come out and say, oh, by the way, there's really not an issur. If, you know, even if it's not pilagshus, as long as tisis kedushin, and then you know, you're telling the zonos to choose their clients carefully. I mean, it would ruin Herzl's dream. You know what Herzl's dream was? He wanted a Jewish state with a Jewish thief, with a Jewish prostitute. So you would, I mean, technically have that, but if all the men were, you know, were sherim, in the sense of yichus, so then you couldn't have kedusha. Right? You could, but I mean, you wouldn't normally. Might be, yeah. Okay, enough on this. What I'd like to do tomorrow just is to go through the Gemara, go through the Dikdukim, maybe just read that passage in the Ran, and then maybe Sharon have it, but if you're not Medakdek, I'd like to try to finish to the next Mishnah, I think, with, you know, go through it. And next week, we're going to, God willing, start, we're going to start to head into Eidos. We're going to first do a Hakdama about Eidos in general, which we're talking about Edom and Ishtar, so we're going to spend some time wading through the sugya of Mipiyem Velo Mipiksavam. And if Mipiyem Velo Mipiksavam is a drasha, how is it that Ishtar ever works? How is Ishtar valid? And you could say that Ishtar is Armi Devei Sofer, but then of course you have a problem because you have Ishtar Gittin and Ishtar Kedushin and things like that, and Ishtar Shechor, that those cannot be the Rabbanon, so we'll have to explore how that comes to be. So we'll begin the God willing that sugya Monday, but tomorrow we'll just kind of map up what's left in our sugya here.